Thank you, Brent. That's some good music, isn't it? Amen. Wonderful. All right, if you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, and I'll be reading and starting in verse 7, and I'll read through verse 10. And once you get there, if you would, just stand to honor the reading of God's Word. Again, Daniel chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. I got there pretty quick. My Bible's already open. That was when I thought I was reading in the dark. All right, starting in verse 7, it says, "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." And then get this in verse 10 right here. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did before." Go ahead and be seated and bow with me as we pray together. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this moment of time where we're able to come together and worship together. And God, I pray right now that you would move me aside. You would speak through me. You'd remove distractions. And Lord, I pray that everything we do and say tonight would glorify you in a mighty way. Move in the hearts of our people, and we will give you all the praise and all the glory. And it's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, before I knew that the power was going to go out, I'll go ahead and tell you all this. I promise that we did not throw a breaker to make it go out. But the title of my sermon tonight is God is in Control. God is in control, okay? And so it's funny that Brent talked about that, God being in control. We like to take things into our own hands sometimes. And sometimes we miss the point of God saying, just let me work. Just let me do what I do as God. And so I thought about the world. We face a lot of hatred, a lot of rebellion, a lot of sin, a lot of garbage on the news. And I think it's easy for a Christian, a faithful Christian, to stand up and say, I'm tired of this. Something needs to be done. I want to step out and I want to stand up and I want to go fight. I want to go do something for the Lord. And that's great. And I encourage that. I love standing up for God. Y'all know that I love having a relationship with God, and I want to stand up for what I believe in. I want to show the world what I believe in. But I also want to stay in the center of God's will. I want him to work through me, not me work through myself. I don't want to let my emotions take control of me and make harsh decisions because I think that something needs to be done about a certain situation. And so that kept bringing me to this point that God is in control. We do get angry. We do get frustrated. It's easy for people to become frustrated with the world today because we see so much sickness. We see so much hate. We see so many people going against the things of God, and we're tired of it. We want people to come to know God and to serve God. So why do so many people go away from him when they know what he has to offer them? An eternity in heaven? Are you serious? Why would you not want that? Why would you not want a relationship with God? And so in the anger, in the frustration that we can build up, we have to understand how to humble ourselves and calm ourselves and say, what does God want to do in this situation? And so I thought about Daniel. When I started getting this topic in my mind, I immediately thought about Daniel and how he knew that God was in control. You see, Daniel was part of the captivity in Babylon, the Jewish captivity. And back in chapter 1 of Daniel, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar, he says in chapter 1, in verse 3, it says, "The king spoke to Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." And then in verse 5, it says, "The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat." And then you keep on reading down to verse 6. "Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel." And it names a few other people. Daniel is smart. Daniel is intelligent. He was from royal priesthood. He knew how to be a servant in the king's palace. So the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he wanted Daniel in his kingdom. And so Daniel is here, he's being a servant, and he's able to see the evilness of the kings in a row. He was in the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar all the way to King Cyrus. And so he saw King Nebuchadnezzar make mistakes. He saw King Nebuchadnezzar throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And then he sees King Belshazzar, his own pride got the best of him. And it was the failure of him. He sees people constantly going away from God. And now he's under the reign of King Darius, where we are in chapter 6. And the princes and the presidents and all the counselors, all the other people that are in the kingdom, they're saying, listen, we need to find something wrong with Daniel, but we can't find anything. So how about we do this? Let's make the king's head real big. Let's make him prideful. Let's make him think, we only want to serve you, king. And again, we see people going away from the things of God. Daniel has every right in this position to say, I am tired of this. I want to stand up. I want to fight. I am done with this. I'm going to go out on my own. I've seen God working and I've seen the miracles he's done, but nothing's changing. People continue to turn away from the things of God. But thank goodness Daniel didn't react that way. Thank goodness he didn't act on his own emotions and go and say, you know what, I'm going to fight. I'm going to do something about it. It says he went up to his room and he opened the doors and he prays as he did before. He was already in sweet fellowship with the Lord. He was already in a relationship with the Lord. He was already doing these things. Daniel didn't go up to his room to pray in spite of the king's decree. He didn't go up there and say, well, the king's done this and I'm mad about it, so I'm going to go show him who my God is. I'm going to go pray so that they see me, so that I'm made an example. He's already in relationship with God. He's already praying this long before this decree was signed. And so I think about him knowing that God is in control. God is in total control of the situation. He doesn't try to go and do something different than what he's already doing. He's trusting in God, knowing that he is in full control of the situation. He knows what the decree says. You can't worship anybody. You can't call on the name of another god besides King Darius for 30 days. Daniel can step back and he can say, 30 days, I can do that. I'll just shut my windows for 30 days. That's fine. And then when the 30 days is up, I'll go on worshiping God. But that's not what he was already doing. Daniel was already letting people know whose God he served. See, these people in the kingdom, they knew who Daniel was. He was in high authority. He was there, like I said, through King Nebuchadnezzar, through King Belshazzar. He was King Darius's right-hand man. This is why the princes and the counselors and all the other people in the kingdom didn't like him. They were jealous of him. We hear that quote all the time, with great power comes great responsibility. But when you're in a position of power like Daniel was, there's going to be people that are jealous of you. There's going to be people that want your position, people that want to stand up and be where you're at. So they say, let's find something wrong with Daniel. And they can find nothing wrong. So they say, well, let's make a decree so that we can find something wrong in the God that he serves. And we know that that's just wrong. Just blatantly wrong. There's nothing wrong with the God that we serve. He is perfection. Absolute perfection. You can find no fault in the God that we serve. And so I just kept thinking about losing control. How do we lose control? What happens? Why do we let our frustrations and our angers get the best of us? And my father-in-law, Mr. Mike, many of y'all know him, but he showed me a post yesterday. And we were just kind of saddened by it. We really were. Because there's an evangelist and a poet that I've kind of followed over the years. And I've noticed in the last year or so, he's gotten a little more edgy, a little more radical. He's very famous. And I'm not just going to throw his name out there. Y'all can, I mean, some of y'all may know who it is. But he's gotten very famous. And his whole thing that he's gotten to be a part of is he's mad at the system of church. He's angry. He thinks that pastors are bullying people into saying, well, if you don't do this, then God doesn't love you. Or if you don't act like this, God doesn't love you. And he's so frustrated with it, he's letting his emotions get the best of him. And so Mr. Mike turned his phone screen and showed me a post that he put up. A guy that I've heard preach many times online and done a great job. But I can tell you, in his post, there's a picture of him, and he's telling everybody that they're number one with their middle finger. An evangelist, a poet. And he's the one that has been preaching the gospel. And then he goes on his post writing to all of the bully pastors and all the people that he wants to take up a word with, that he wants to fight, that he wants to get back at for threatening him and his family for being an evangelist. And he's angry and he uses vulgar words and curse words in his post. And we sat there and we thought about it and we're like, you know, he's trying to control the situation. He's trying to show what he can do for it because he's so passionate. He wants to show people. what he can do for the situation, but he's lost total control. There's no way to justify vulgarity. There's no way to justify calling people number one the way he's calling them, if you know what I mean. And there's no way to justify the anger that he has. And the only way that I can see that this has happened is he has forgotten that God is in control of the situation, that God is in control of the people that are coming after him, that God's in control of the people that are talking about his family, that God's in control of the pastors that he doesn't agree with. He's trying to take it into his own hands. And I can say, wow, what a crazy guy. He thinks that that's going to help his ministry. I mean, there's people blasting him on comments saying like, this is not of the Spirit of God. This is not what you need to be doing. And then there's people that are supporting him. But I just think, how often do we lose control of situations and we think that we can do something to fix it, that we can stand up, that we can fight and make everything better? Because that's where he's at right now. He thinks he can fight the system and make it all better, that people will come to understand why he's doing what he does. But when we lose control of ourselves, we are separating ourselves from God and from what God is wanting to do through us. It is so hard to accomplish the will of God when we are separated from him. You can't do that. You have to walk in sweet fellowship with God, knowing that he is in control at all times. And I thought about that. Being a man, it can be tough sometimes. Ladies, don't tune out, but I'm going to talk to the men for just a second. Okay, just a second. Maybe y'all be glad about it. I don't know. But when I was younger, when I was a child, I thought that being a man meant that we could chop wood, you know, that we could start a fire, that we could fix a car, we could turn wrenches, we could be manly men, we could lift heavy stuff, we could hit home runs, we could score points in games. That's what a man was. And then as I got older into my teenage years and my later teenage years, I started learning that being a man was being a gentleman, open up doors, you know, being kind to people, being there to help people when they're in need. And those are all great qualities of a man. But as I've gotten even older, I've come to realize that something about being a man that all men need to do is understand that we can't control every situation, that we can't take control and fix everything ourselves as much as we want to. We have to be willing as men of God to humble ourselves and say, we need help. We need someone else to control this situation. And I'm not talking about another man or another person. I'm talking about we need help from God because God controls the situation. God is willing to help you. He's willing to say, let me work through you. Let me show you what I have planned for you. Don't take your own action. Let me do my action. Let me do what I do best. I am God and you are not. And as men, we have to humble ourselves and say, God, we do need help. We can't do this. We can't be selfish anymore. We've got to let you lead our families. We've got to let you help us to teach our kids. And that's something that I value as a man, being able to say, you know what? I can do all those great qualities, be a gentleman and be kind, but if I'm not living for God, what am I living for? If I'm not coming in second to God, if I'm not in the passenger seat letting him drive, what am I doing? What am I accomplishing? And that's exactly where Daniel's at. Daniel, like I said, he can get prideful and he can say, you know what, I serve the living God. I'm going to go out, I'm going to fight. I'm going to take control of the situation because I'm tired of seeing king after king after king go against the things of God. But instead, he goes up to his room and he opens up those doors and he prays. And what I love about verse 10, what I absolutely love about it says he kneels three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. Before. He was already doing this. Like I said, it wasn't in spite. He wasn't saying, watch this. I trust in my God, so I'm going to show you who I am. I'm going to go up and pray. He's saying, I'm already doing this. You can sign any decree you want. I'm going to trust in the living God. I've seen my God save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I've seen God do miracles. I've interpreted dreams. I've been there. I've been made up to the top of this kingdom. King Darius wants to put Daniel over the whole realm. He loves Daniel. King Darius loves him. And King Darius, when he signs the decree, doesn't really realize exactly what he's doing. He's caught up in his pride. I think he's forgotten that Daniel serves the living God, that he's going to have to cast Daniel into the lion's den because it said that it grieved him. He was upset. He was worried all night. His sleep went from him while Daniel was in the lion's den. And then he woke up extra early in the morning just so he could go and see if Daniel was okay because he was worried about him. He loved Daniel. He respected Daniel. And Daniel's just saying, listen, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. So as Christians tonight, keep doing what you're doing. Keep enjoying sweet fellowship with the Lord. Do His will. Let Him control your emotions. Respond to the situations. Don't just react. The evangelist I was talking about earlier, he's reacting to his emotions. He's frustrated with people. He's frustrated with systems. And so he's going and he's acting on his own emotions when he should be responding. He's saying, God, I know you have control. Take control of this situation, God, and let me see what happens through it when you're in control and I'm not. I'm fine with not being in control. If I'm in control, if I'm calling the shots, if I'm not living by the will of God, I'm in trouble. I'm going to fail time and time again. If Daniel would have just stood up and started acting irrational and freaking out and basing everything off his emotions of being upset, he would have failed. But he said, you know what? My God is bigger than this situation. My God is greater than the kings that I've seen come through here and turn their face from God. And my God is willing to take control of the situation. And I want to see what he has to do. Brian talked this morning about just expectations of God and what he will do. Why do we expect less than what God is able to do? Daniel is expecting God to do something great. He is confident in the Lord. He is trusting in God to know that, hey, he's in control. This is what's going to happen. He's going to take control of the situation. He's going to be glorified, and I'm going to be faithful to him. It was such a timely sermon talking about faithful servants, Brian, faithful Christians that are willing to just say, you know what? God has it. God has my life. I don't have to act on my own emotions. I don't have to be in control of the situation. He is under control. And so y'all know the story. Daniel is cast into that lion's den. And what's great, you know that the mouths of the lions were shut. And I love that story, but I'm going to skip ahead just a second, okay? The decree of King Darius, he wrote unto all people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. He is a deliverer. He is a rescuer. He is someone, God, that takes control of situations and lets himself be glorified. So don't get in the way tonight of God being glorified. Don't let your emotions get the best of you and say, you know what, God, thank you for what you've done, but people just aren't changing. I'm taking matters into my own hands. Don't do that. Stand up for what you believe in. Be confident, be bold, but be in the will of God. If you were here a few weeks ago for the Guy Penrod concert, it was awesome. Guy Penrod does a lot more preaching than singing. I'm telling you, if you were here, you know what I mean. But it was great. We were here, he was preaching, he was singing, and he comes right down this center aisle, and he talked about staying in the presence of the Lord. And he continued to say it, and it kept just dwelling with me, stay in the presence of the Lord. If I will stay, if you will stay in the presence of the living God and live a life devoted to him, he will control your situations. He will be there for you through everything. Will life be perfect? No. Will trials come? Yes. Will temptations come? Yes. Will hard times come? Yes. But he will be with you through all of it. I think a pretty hard time would be Daniel being led up to that lion's den. But I'm sure Daniel probably had a peace knowing that he was serving the living God. Knowing that, you know what, this situation's awful. This situation is tough, but I know who I serve and he'll deliver me. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, my God will deliver us out of your hands or out of the hands of that fire, but he'll deliver us. He is in control of this situation. And then back up to verse 24, the king commanded and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. They cast them into the den of lions, their families. And the lions had the mastery of them. They broke all their bones in pieces. Everything they came at the bottom of the den. Think about that. These people were judged. God was in control of these people. Daniel could have tried to take control and he could have tried to judge these people himself. But God, in the ultimate, in the end, was judging these people. These people had tried to go against the things of God. And God took control of the situation. Daniel may not have seen at the beginning, well, these people are going to get theirs. They're going to die in the lion's den. They're going to try to deliver me, but they're going to be the ones that are delivered up to those hungry lions. Daniel may not have known that, but he knew that God would provide, that God would control the situation. So as Christians tonight, as members here of Grace Baptist Church, are we willing to let God control our situations? To put our emotions aside, to put our reactions aside, to put our anger aside and say, you know what? I'm going to trust in the living God. I'm going to be bold in my faith. I'm going to be confident, but I'm going to know that He is always in control. I'm going to continue doing what I've been doing before time. I'm going to continue in my Bible. I'm going to continue praying and doing my devotions and listening to hear what God has to tell me, to see where God is working and join Him so that I can experience sweet fellowship with Him. That's when God takes total control, when we will humble ourselves and recognize that serving Him and being in sweet fellowship with Him is what we need to be doing. We don't need to be judging the world for ourselves, trying to make ourselves feel better, anything like that. We need to see where God, where there's a need, and tell and ask God to use us to meet those needs. Let Him work through us. God worked through Daniel. God worked through Moses. God worked through Noah. God works through all of these people. And He will work through you too if you will let Him take control. If you will submit and just say, God, You have this situation. You have my life. I'm done being the first person in my life. I want You to be first. And so that's my question tonight. Are you letting God take control of your life? Are you willing to step back and just get quiet and say, God, just take control. Just be there. I know that You have control of the situation. I know that You have a plan and You have a purpose through the situation that I'm in. Like I said, as Christians, it is so easy to look around this world today and say, why do these people hate so much? Why is there so much anger in the world, God? Why don't You just fix it? He's going to fix it one day. People are going to understand who He is one day. Every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that the living God is our God. They're going to understand God is in control. He has a purpose. He has a plan. And now we, as Christians, need to accept that plan. Understand that we don't come first. He does. Our reactions, our emotions don't come first. He does. His plans are far greater than our plans. His ways are better than our ways. And if we will trust in Him, let Him take control, it would be amazing to see what God would do through each and every Christian in this building. So let's bow our heads, let's close our eyes. Brent's going to come up and start playing. But maybe you're at a point tonight where you've never trusted in Jesus, where you've never trusted in God, never let Him take control of your life. You've never been saved. That can happen for you tonight. You can start enjoying sweet fellowship and sweet relationship with our living God tonight if you would just make that decision. Give Him your life. I'll be down front in just a minute. Brian will be...